You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner and Mike Grennan with you this week to look ahead to the Porsche European Open and the Tour Championship, the conclusion of the FedEx Cup race this week. First of all, a warm welcome to the man sitting next to me here in the studio, ready to analyse these two tournaments. Good morning to you, Mike Grennan.
Good morning to you, Dave Kellner.
How are you, sir?
I'm in good form and looking forward to the Tour Championship.
No Dave Tindall with us this week.
I noticed.
He's on his annual Mods versus Rockers golfing day at the moment.
Oh, is he?
He plays against, I don't know if you've seen this, I don't know if he'll be angry with me for revealing it, but he plays alongside Matt Cooper against the guitarist from Judas Priest,
really?
KK Downing, single year, Mods versus Rockers. And I think I presume he's one of the mods.
Yeah, he's definitely. He likes a Fred Perry, doesn't he? Yeah.
He's definitely one of the mods.
He's representing Quadrophenia.
He is. So he's not here, unfortunately, this week. Okay. But we're going to get stuck into these two tournaments, and he'll be back for the Ryder Cup next week, Mike. Are you excited?
I'm excited.
It's one of my favourite sporting events. I know, obviously, we love golf as it is, but I think the Ryder Cup captures even the non-golf fan, just the general sports fan.
Yes, yeah, it should be. It's on a good time this year for UK viewers in the evening, primarily. So let's hope it's good weather so it doesn't get delayed. And yeah, it should be a cracking event, as always.
Got a couple of decent events this week.
We have.
Which we'll come on to. Last week, Francesco Molinari won his home open. And I was, you know, I was taken aback by how impressive he was on Sunday.
Yeah, good player. Doesn't seem to win as much as he should, but he was excellent on Sunday, wasn't he? What did he shoot in the end?
I think he shot 22 or 23 under par, and he was 6 under for the final round.
Final round, that's it.
Very good performance from Francesco Molinari to win his home open. Amazing amount of guys that have won their home championships this season.
It's unusual, isn't it? Usually doesn't work out like that, but yes, two in Lauten won the other week as well, didn't he? So there's been quite a few this year, yeah.
A lot of people looking at Martin Keimer to win in Germany this week. I suppose it's the European Open, so you've got a lot of Europeans running for you this week in the European Open.
Yeah.
Let's get stuck into this European Open then, the Porsche European Open.
Who's it sponsored by, Dave?
It's sponsored by Porsche.
By Porsche.
We're always hoping, aren't we?
Well, we haven't done it for a while, but it's sponsored by Porsche.
It is. Mm-hmm. And it's just a shame that the Tour Championship's no longer sponsored by Coca-Cola.
We're more likely to get a bottle of Coca-Cola than
Much
a Porsche,
more likely.
Aren't we?
Thomas Peters.
Unless an executive from Porsche is listening.
Thomas Peters is the 9-1 favourite to win the event. Martin Keimer, 10-1. Bernd Wiesberger, 14-1. Richard Bland is 25. Scott Henn, 25-1. Alejandro Canizares and Tongchai Zhaidi and Tommy Fleetwood, all 28s, and it's 33-1 and bigger the remainder. The weather in the lead up to the event has been terrible, terrible weather in Germany. It's been this tournament, as was the case last year, is being hosted by the Beckenbauer course at the Hartel Resort. That's the host venue. Yep. And Bad Griesbach, the area in which Germany, the area in which this tournament is played, has suffered with flash floods. It's basically the golf course runs alongside the floodplain of the River Rot. So water is in play on many holes. It's in play on more holes than the tournament organisers would like, though, this year.
Right.
So some of the pictures have been disconcerting, but apparently the weather forecast is meant to be pretty settled for the next week. So we should get golf here, but it's likely to be lift, clean and place, and it might play longer.
Is it going to play lift, clean and place?
I think that's been intimated. I've not seen it.
Do you think it'll suit the longer hitters this year then?
You'd think so, wouldn't you? It only measures 7,188 yards, and it was pretty damp when the tournament was here last year, but it's much wetter this time around. The problem you've got when it's this wet is that the fairways are wider, which suits the longer hitter.
Yeah.
And of course, you're not getting the run on the ball, so a distance off the tee is more prevalent.
And Jai D won it last year, and he's not a long hitter, but the top 10 was populated by quite a number of decent length hitters anyway, I thought, when you looked at it. So, yeah, I think the longer hitters may well be suited this year, albeit it's a little bit of an unknown, isn't it? So I'm not having a bet in this event, pre-event, David. Are you?
I've got one bet, and as you mentioned, that leaderboard last year, we've only got 1 year's European Tour course form to go on. This course has hosted three Challenge Tour events, so you can have a look at that if you want to.
Yep.
But we've only got 1 year's stats to really work on. And as you mentioned, quite informative to see Pelle Edberg, Scott Hendon, Lucas Beauregard up in the van last year, and those are three of the longest hitters on the tour, really.
And now Jai D isn't, as we've said, and Kjeldsen was up there, but yeah, Jamie Donaldson, he gets it a decent way as well, doesn't he? I think so. And Ross Fisher, they're all decent long hitters, though. So Peter Uihlein wasn't a mile back. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I have a feeling it might favour the longer hitter this year, but without saying that more of the likes of Jai D, I'm not saying they can't win, but I'd have more of a preference for a longer hitter this year, I think.
I've got a long hitter as my sole pick here.
Well done.
Alex Levy is my selection. I remember him winning on the European Tour back in 2014 at a sodden golf course in Portugal, where it only went two rounds. And that event was reduced because of the weather. And I've got it in my mind that he will thrive under these conditions this week. And he's just playing himself into a little bit of form now with three decent finishes consecutively. Finished tied for 18th at the European Masters, followed that with a 34th place finish in the KLM Open, and last week he was 7th in the Italian Open and went into the final round with a chance to win. I wouldn't have said the layouts at Cranz or Golf Club Milano would suit him as well as this one either, so I'm pretty encouraged by those results. He ranked 4th in driving accuracy and distance from the tee last week, so his game clearly in good order, and he also putted well. He enjoys low scoring golf courses, and to win this week you'll have to be deep into double digits, so I reckon he could thrive. Only finished 55th here last year, but he was only 72nd in Italy last year before posting a top 10 this time around. I think his suitability for the golf course is a definite positive here, and I thought 33-1 was fair enough.
Yeah, I like that pick, Dave. I think he could definitely go well. He's coming into a bit of form, isn't he? The guys I looked at, Tommy Fleetwood's another man who's coming out of the doldrums a little bit with the top 10s in his last two events and a 16th a couple of events before that. Although he missed the cut here last year, which puts me off a bit. But I do like Fleetwood, and he can hit the ball a good way. So he was on my mind, but a little bit short in the betting, I think, this time maybe. Interesting to see a couple of Americans are the other two guys that would probably be on my radar a little bit. Interesting to see Bud Cauley over here.
Yeah, I've got that written down. He's one of the guys that I definitely wanted to mention. I don't know if he's ever played on European soil.
I don't know if he has either. I didn't look that up, but why is he over here for this? Maybe he fancies a Porsche.
Yeah, I suppose it's just one of those things where if you don't get into the FedEx Cup final series, there's nothing else to do, basically. No. So his last couple of performances, both top 10s at the John Deere and the Wyndham, they were about a month ago, so he's working his way back to the...
Yeah, maybe he feels he's in form and he wants to play, yeah.
I think so, yeah. And if you can get an invite, why not have a crack here? So he's interesting at 33-1. Those are the top of the betting. Bernd Wiesberger, maybe a little bit short of 14s, but his performance in Holland was superb, really. I mean, he could have won barring that third round of 71. Putted much better, which is obviously key for Wiesberger, because it's definitely his weakness. If there's an Achilles heel in his game, it's putting, isn't it, Wiesberger?
It is. And he missed the cut here last year, that put me off. But you're right. But you're right, putting is his Achilles. Well, that's quite a big Achilles this week, isn't it? Because it is, last year, wasn't it? It was nearly 20 under, wasn't it?
Yep.
So you're going to have to go pretty low this week. I really like Wiesberger, and I wouldn't be at all surprised to see him there or thereabouts. Just wonder whether he'll just hold enough putts to win, and the 14s just was enough to put me off. But I do like him. He should go well this week, you're right.
And you mentioned that missed cut, Mike.
Yeah.
He led after the first round last year.
Oh, yes,
he shot 64-76,
yes.
I think,
yes,
he shot.
I remember it well, actually.
Which was weird, because it was coming in the in the run of a rich vein of form for Wiesberger as well. So to shoot 76 in the second round.
Wouldn't he after the first round?
You'd think so, wouldn't you? Mm. Yeah. So he's interesting.
The other one I was going to mention is an American guy, is Peter Uihlein, who missed the cut last week, I think, on his first outing for a while after an injury. But he was 12th here last year. And he hits it a mile and he's a good putter. And I just know that he's got an awful lot of ability. So I don't know whether he's ready to win yet. I want to just mention him as a sighter to keep an eye on. If he was going well in running, I'd be tempted to have a go at him. But I'm not sure he's quite... You know, he might need a few outings to get himself going. But they were the kind of guys I was looking at. I think Levy, as you say, should have a really good chance. I'll be watching Fleetwood as well because I do think he's going back to form.
A couple I want to mention at massive prices before we move on to the Tour Championship. Sebastian Gross at 125-1. We're quite short in the market on him. He's been spotted, but he's a huge hitter who finished third in the Aegean Airlines Challenge Tour event, which was played here in 2015. And that's the only time he's seen the golf course. He shot 63 around this track before. Has that ability to go really low, Sebastian Gros, the Frenchman. Not had a great season on the tour, but shot a couple of rounds in the mid-60s at the KLM Open a couple of weeks ago. I think he could go well at a big price. But we are quite short in the market on him, even though he's 125-1. If he was...
That Mark had said, the rascal.
Always. He's actually on holiday this week, so it's one of the other rascals up there. If he was 150 or 175, something like that, he'd be on my mind. And Mike Lorenzo Vera has played pretty well. Decent finishes at the Omega European Masters and the KLM Open. But he was pretty much dead last when they played that event on the Challenge Tour here back in 2013.
That doesn't bode well.
No, it doesn't bode well.
Last in that.
Well, precisely. So if he'd have had a little bit of course form, I'd have been interested in him at 125-1, Mike Lorenzo Vera. Just a quick word on the two guys that are going to be participating in next week's Ryder Cup, both at the top of the betting. Thomas Peters at 9-1, Martin Kaymer at 10-1.
Well, Peters certainly will be suited if it's a long hitting event, won't he? And he's been in great form, so I'd expect him to play well. He has no fears about winning lower grade events. I just wonder whether he's quite ready yet for the pressure of the Ryder Cup myself. I'm not too sure. I think he'd be a great experience for him and he will play, I'm sure, in more of them as he gets on. But his best finishes tend to have been in lesser events, I think. I don't think that's unfair to say. I'm a big fan of his, but I think that is the way it is. So I could of course see him go very well this week. Kaymer's slightly gone off for me.
Yeah. I was thinking, I think if you had to choose between one or two...
Peters.
Yeah, I'd be over Peters over Kaymer.
Most def.
Yeah. And the strange thing is I'm surprised Peters is playing in the event, actually. I can understand why Kaymer's playing in Germany, wants to win a championship on home soil. But I suppose Peters wanted to play in the KLM Open and had that allergic reaction to a wasp that bit him. Or stung him, even. I think wasps sting rather than bite.
They do.
I find it strange that he's here. I thought he'd be gearing up, you know, for the Ryder Cup.
Well, he may just think that he wants to keep his game going and doesn't want to be dwelling on the pressure ahead and keep himself busy. Who knows? Mm. May have committed to the sponsors. There's all kinds of things like that coming to play. He's got a good chance of winning, to be fair, Dave, hasn't he? He's the favourite for a good reason, so why not?
Let's get stuck into the Tour Championship then. The feature event this week, the conclusion of the FedEx Cup, and we're Eastlake once again, and Dustin Johnson is the favourite after his win in the BMW Championship a couple of weeks ago. That took him back to the top of the FedEx Cup standings, and he's 9-2 to win this week. Rory McIlroy, 11-2. Jordan Spieth is 8-1. Adam Scott is 9s. Jason Day, 9-1. Paul Casey is 16s, Patrick Reed is 18-1, Hideki Matsuyama and Matt Kuchar both 28s, and it's 33s and bigger the rest. And Eastlake has undergone a major change since last year's edition. The nines have been switched, Mike, which means the players will now finish on a par 5 rather than the traditional finish on the par 3, possibly in the hope that that closing par 5 will generate more excitement. And the course has been lengthened slightly as well. Still a par 70, but now measures 7,385 yards, which is an increase of 78 yards on last year. And it's now the second longest of the non-major par 70s on tour, according to Rob Bolton's power rankings. So a couple of alterations to Eastlake in the lead up to this championship, Mike.
Yeah, but I'm not convinced that driving distance is that critical here. I don't think the length of the course is that important. I think it's more important to hit the fairways and clean and tidy game where you can then get in the greens and hit fairly near the flags, I think. I don't think it's particularly a bomber's course. Not to the they can't contend, but I think accuracy off the tee is probably more important this week than distance would be my... That's what we've seen in past years anyway, I would suggest.
Yeah, it's a tough fair test, isn't it, as well, like Eastlake, because scoring is pretty difficult when you compare it to a standard PGA Tour event. And I think it makes it engaging, and it's a fitting course to end the FedEx Cup.
Kind of a 10-under wins job,
yeah,
isn't it?
Rather it is.
Which I prefer than even lesser, I kind of prefer, but 20-under events.
You want them grinding for one over par, don't you?
I do. I like that. That's what I like. But this is not far off that. It's 10-under should be get the job done probably, you know, which is much better than a 25-under job.
Yeah, and it's a golf course where you can't really fake it. If you're not at the top of your game, you won't win around here.
Yeah, I think you do need to be informed, don't you?
Yeah, I think you do. And in the early days at Eastlake, scoring was much easier. But since they relayed the greens and changed them to Bermuda, scoring has been much tougher.
Mm.
I've got one pick this week.
I've got one pick. Shall I go first?
Yes, you lead us off.
Well, I was between two or three guys, really, Dave. But my actual... The lucky dart has landed on Roberto Castro this week, who's been in nice form currently, played ever so well the other week at the BMW, where he was third. But that was coming after two top 25s in the Wyndham and in the Deutsche Bank. He did miss the cut in the Barclays in between those. I'm going for a bit of a price play here because Mark Adsted and his cohorts have given this fellow a price of 66-1, which in a field of 30 just strikes me as a decent price for someone in who's in the best nick he's been in all season, probably. And also, he was ninth here on his only outing in 2013. He's went to Georgia Tech, so this is not far from there. So he's used to this kind of part of the world. And his stats stack up well. Top 20 for strokes tee to green, 5th for driving accuracy, 12th for greens in reg, 40th for proximity. They're the kind of things I think you need this week. His putting would be a slight worry, even though he went ever so low in a couple of rounds at the BMW. His putting still, compared to his peers, it needs a little bit of work, so I'll be praying he's got the flat stick on this week. But I just think, given the size of the field, 66-1 is a decent price, and you know, with those four places to go for, I'm willing to give him a go at 66s.
Yeah, I suppose we are getting big prices on some players that you like the look of and that fit here, because the top of the market incredibly short, incredibly strong.
Yeah, oh, very this strong. Week. Yeah, very strong. Yeah, yeah.
I've gone for one at a price as well, actually, as my sole selection here. Ryan Moore is my pick at 40s. It's not very original, because it looks like if you're going to go for one guy away from the top of the betting, Ryan Moore has the perfect skill set for this golf course, as he's proven in the past. He's played here twice and finished in a tie for third in 2012, where he went into the final round with a chance to win, and a tie for ninth in 2010 on his two starts at Eastlake. Very accurate from the tee, which gives him a chance to attack, and his tee to green play has been fantastic recently. He struck me as good value at 40-1 in a 30-man field. He has won on a Donald Ross-designed golf course as well. We know that these golf courses designed by Donald Ross tend to correlate. Won the Wyndham at Sedgefield Country Club back in, I think it was 2000, I've not written it down, I think it was 2009. And he comes into this championship with two top 10 finishers in the FedEx Cup already. Finished tied for 7th at the Barclays, followed by a tie for 8th at the Deutsche Bank. I think if he can keep that form going into this week, he's a good price at 40-1.
Yeah, no, he was one of the three or four players that made it to my kind of final shortlist, Dave. Russell Knox was probably a little bit closer than him as a selection for me. Had he played here before, I might have been tempted into Russell Knox, who's been in pretty decent form, won pretty recently, and then two top 20s in his last two outings. Knox does tick a lot of those accuracy boxes, greens in regulation type stuff. So I'll be watching him very closely, Russell Knox.
Point to prove as well.
Very much so, with the Ryder Cup in mind. 40-1, I thought was a fair price for him. So he was close. Yeah, you know, so Moore would have been the other one of the ones at a slightly bigger price. At the head of the market, they've all got a chance. They've all got a chance. But Paul Casey will be appealing to a lot of people, given his second on his last two outings and his fifth in this event last year. And this is his game, isn't it? strokes tee to green, you know, hits the greens in regulation very well, very accurate, but can also whack it a bit as well. So Casey must have a big chance. 16s on Paul Casey, I can just leave it.
It's one of those prices, isn't it? You see 16 to 1 about Paul Casey in a field with the best players in the world, and he's 6th in the market, ahead of the likes of Patrick Reed, who's a multiple PGA Tour winner, and he's only won once on the tour.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's one of those things, isn't it? You think he's going to play well, and if you're having a look at like top five markets...
He can definitely mark, yeah. But then again, he won't be a huge price in those, given that he's 16s for the outright. So everything kind of looks okay for Casey this week, other than maybe his odds. And ultimately, this is a betting preview, so that's not much use. So I did look at him until 16s just made me think, well, maybe not.
A couple that I like at big prices, Kevin Chappell, who's 80-1 in this field. He can just pop up from anywhere, and it's testament to some of his big finishes in big events that he's in this field, because he's not played that well in the FedEx Cup, in all honesty. But 80-1 catches my eye for a man that's dangerous when not really performing at his best. He just pops up from anywhere, Kevin Chappell. He's 80-1, which I thought was decent. And Siwoo Kim, who's 66-1, he won the Wyndham this year, and he's played well in the playoffs as well.
He's a big top price. 20s. Yeah, he's form figures are first, missed cut 15-20 in his last four events, so he's been in very decent form, hasn't he? Yeah, he probably is a little bit underrated there. Jason Duffner would have the game for this course, but has lost form a bit for my money, so I didn't have a look at him. Sean O'Hare has good as form here in the past, if you look back far enough. I'm almost second only three outings ago. He's nearly the rank outsider of the field. Yeah. He might surprise a couple of people. But what do you reckon of the market leaders, Dave?
I think I'd be with Jordan Spieth the market leaders at 8-1. I suppose we've got five of them up there, less than 10-1 in the betting here with William Hill. Spieth will be my man because I know he loves the golf course. He's talked about how the golf course is similar in many ways to Augusta National. And he's obviously won at Augusta and had an opportunity to win this year before
certainly did.
Failing to find that green on the 12th. So Jordan Spieth, if his putting is at its absolute best, 8-1 Jordan Spieth, I think, is the man for me. But I wouldn't be surprised if Dustin Johnson won again at 9-2 either, in all honesty. I think those two, out of the five that are less than 10-1, Spieth and Johnson would be my two. What about you?
I like Johnson. I think he's playing great. McIlroy, not so much. Spieth, well, a second and a first in 3 years there is testament to his chance. Adam Scott, almost certain to be placed, I would think. He's just playing absolutely brilliant golf until he gets the putter in his hand.
I suppose that's the worry when you're backing someone.
He's won here before, though. And fourth on his last three outings. So it's not that imaginative to say he'll be in the top five again. But we just watch his tee to green game, and it's been fantastic. He's just missing putts. So you couldn't be backing him at 9-1, I don't think. I'd love to think he would win, but you've got to hold some putts here, I think, haven't you, at this course? And Jason Day, probably not the course for him so much, but he's that talented, he could win anyway. I would say they've all got a chance, haven't they? I couldn't actually pick one of the top five out. You couldn't rule any of them out, which makes it harder for the rest, I guess. And that's why, with only four places, you just only one bet.
Yeah, that's the same thinking for me. I couldn't rule any of the top five out. Spieth probably the one that I would go for at 8-1 if I was having a bet on the market leaders this week. Should be a fun event. Obviously, the top five control their own destiny going into the Tour Championship to win the $10 million bounty at the end of the week.
Having said that, if you were going to force me, which you haven't been trying to force me, but if I had to pick one of them just at the prices, I probably might go for Day just because he's a brilliant putter, and if he gets his game, I know he withdrew the other week, but 9-1 on him.
And he's the outside of the five.
He's outside of the five, isn't he? And he has been really the best player this year, hasn't he, probably? If I had to pick one, it might be him.
Looking forward to the Ryder Cup now as well.
Yeah.
How do you think this affects the Ryder Cup at all, these players? Obviously, because you've got most of the Americans that are in that Ryder Cup team in the Tour Championship. Does that affect them with the proximity between this event and the Ryder Cup next week?
I quite like players playing the week before a major, for example, and if you want to call the Ryder Cup almost like a major. I quite like it. I think it gets their game sharp, gets them thinking, sitting at home and mulling things over. If I was a a player that was that good, I'd want to play the week before. I want to go into the event on song and feeling, you know, in game mode, so to speak. Mm. So, and I don't want to give away my tip for next week, no. But I think people might already know that I fancy the Americans. But, I think it'll be fine.
And, of course, after this week, Davis Love will make his final Ryder Cup selection. So there's a few players in there.
Who's that going to be?
Well, I thought it would be Bubba Watson 10 days ago, but everything I've read in the press suggests it's not going to be Bubba Watson. But he was practicing at Hazeltine before going to Eastlake.
Yeah, but Daniel Berger and Justin Thomas were there as well.
Yeah.
Justin Thomas could be a big price, actually, at 60-61. He's got something to play for, hasn't he?
Yeah.
What a massive incentive he's got. He could obviously get a lot of money and get in. If one of those guys wins, they'll probably be picked, won't they, Berger or Thomas, by the look of it.
And Moore as well, which is my
selection. Ryan Moore there, was he?
Well, no, I'm saying he's got a lot. He could be that final pick.
He could be. He could be interesting. But the ones that went to practice, you'd think would have the advantage, yeah. Wouldn't you? Justin Thomas hasn't been the last couple of events have not been that good for him. But before that, he was in reasonable form. So I wouldn't be surprised if he makes a run this week, because big friend of Jordan Spieth. I think if he won this week, there'd be a massive lobby to get him in.
Oh, I think that'd be a huge factor. I think even if he plays well this week, the Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas relationship off the course might influence Davis Love's selection.
I agree.
Because if Spieth and Thomas pair well together, which you think they do, it'd be a good team.
Berger was 12th here last year, so he'll have his supporters as well. That's a fascinating subplot, isn't it?
Yeah, it is indeed. And let's recap the selections for this week for the Porsche European Open. Just the one pick for me, Alex Levy, a point each way at 33-1.
I haven't got any bets in that, but I'm a big fan of the sponsors.
And in the Tour Championship, I'm going a point each way, Ryan Moore at 40s.
I'm just going to have half a point each way on Castro at 66, because I will definitely be looking in play. I just want to see how the course is playing. There's a few players under... that I've got on my list that I might have another bet or two. But Castro, half a point each way at 66, that's a big price when there's only 30 runners, I think.
And who's the player you don't want to win?
Phil Mickelson.
Always.
Yeah, well, I've backed him a few times lately. Yeah. And again, another past winner here we haven't even mentioned so far, but his form in recent years hasn't been as compelling here at Eastlake. In fact, he hasn't played here in the last two events, but... Phil can win anywhere. He better not win the week when I don't tip him.
I think mine would be Kevin Chappell in the Tour Championship at 80-1. And I think if I was looking in at the Porsche European Open, I'm just going to call it the European Open from now on. Sebastian Groh.
And if Dave was here, he'd say the player I don't want to win is Dustin Johnson, because he always picks the favourite.
He likes picking those shorties. He likes picking those shorties. He doesn't want to win. Thank you for your company, Mr. Grenham.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, everyone that's listened and tuned in this week. Get your bets on for the European Open and the Tour Championship. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, at D. Kellner, at M. Grenham, at Dave Tindall Golf, and follow William Hill at Will Hill Bet. Download this podcast via iTunes or check us out at audioboom.com by typing in William Hill. And myself, Mike and Dave will be back for full analysis of the Ryder Cup next week. If you're having a bet this week, good luck.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey, oh, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops.